Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 183. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out.
That we are.
Did you like that little pause I did?
Yeah, that's middle-aged forgetfulness.
Exactly. I was like, where am I at right now? Actually, it was for effect. Pause and effect.
Say what you want.
Yeah, right. That sounded very 90s rap-ish, sort of. I don't know. I always got to throw the ish in there. Ish is fun to throw in.
Ishes?
Ishes. Ishes and ishes. So, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot? Is it the gruesome twosome tonight?
It is.
Woot.
Yeah. Todd is trying to better himself and get well. So
that's right. So he's absent is what you're telling me.
He is absent.
That's all right.
And it's okay. But all love and support are going out to him.
Absolutely. We love and support him as always, right?
So, yep.
Because when he sits in that seat and one of us are gone, he loves and supports us. Now, what's wrong with that statement?
Usually your name's not
you're
in
never,
there.
I was going to say,
oh, me?
You're never yeah. gone. Yeah, I'm well, that's gone. True. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, even like I tonight kinda... with a sore throat. I'm here.
No, I said, no way are you missing tonight.
Oh, I know. Twist my arm.
That is correct. Oh, man. So, but we're still going to have a fun night.
Yes, correct.
How has your week been? Has it been good?
Very, very hectic at work.
Dang it.
Yep.
So,
I mean, not necessarily in a bad way, but just, cleaning up other people's messes. And
did you fire anybody? That's my question. Did you fire somebody?
No, I haven't fired anybody, but I did hire two more apprentice iron workers, so.
Ooh.
Added to the crew.
That's good. So more people to fire?
Yes. More people to yell at. No, I don't yell.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, yeah, you're not a yeller. Old yeller. Young yeller. Middle-aged yeller.
Just don't shoot me.
That's correct. Yeah, it's a good week. Got cold for a minute. Now it's getting hot. So I think it's supposed to stay hot the rest of the week. Week and month, actually, right? I think September's supposed to be fairly nice, but on the warmer side. So I'm not complaining, though. I'm fine with it. I'm ready for, the spooky season, but whatever the weather is what it is. So
can't control it.
That is correct.
Just roll with it.
Yeah. Roll with the changes, right?
Oh, yeah. Are you a speedwagon?
So the good news is we're here. We are here for Sacred Night, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, uh-huh. So do we have a sponsor, Nate?
We sure do.
Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil, it nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural, made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAACO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
What do you think of that, man?
That's a sponsor.
It is a sponsor. And it's a darn good one, right?
It's a very good one, mm-hmm. Yes.
You still enjoying your product?
Oh, I do. Yep. Smells nice. Good. And controls the beard.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Smelling and tasting?
Mm.
Not so much on the tasting.
It's hard to taste your own beard.
You already just lick your lips real hard, right? all right. Well, moving right along, do you have the first part of the announcements?
I do. We come together because we enjoy
why
doing
do
this.
We come, what, why do we come together?
To keep our sanity.
That's right. I thought, and we're forming a cult. Is that what we're doing?
Exactly.
Cult of personality.
Exactly. But everybody has mental hurdles from time to time, and we want to bring highlight to that. So here, call or text 988 or text HOME to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very important.
Yeah, that's right. We all need help out there. We need, and if we're not needing the help at that moment, there's somebody out there that is. And so we're all in it together. We're all helping each other out. I noticed something when you're reading that, mm-hmm. by the way. I don't know if it's the fact that you've only had 2 hours of sleep, mm-hmm. but I think that your voice is a great sleep inducer. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. Like I need to probably put this podcast on and just play the Nate parts.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to sleep and like, oh, man, it just relaxes you. It really does. No wonder people love this show so much, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not Todd's voice. Not my voice.
It's me.
It's your soothing, calming voice.
Hey, I try.
All right. Well, we have a big show coming up, a really big shoe, right?
Yep. We have a special announcement.
We do.
The Creeped Out and Haunted live show of 2024 will be at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. It will be on Saturday, September 21st, starting at approximately 6 p.m. Arrival time is at 5:15. Our special guest speaker is paranormal investigator and author Austin Lawrence. Tickets are only $10, and they can be pre-purchased or when you arrive the day of the show. The options are PayPal at TWHedges312, Venmo at Todd-Hedges-3, and the Cash App, which is $TodWilliam12, and Cash Works as well. Hope to see you there for a night of creepy fun. So there you go.
There we go.
Yep.
My question is, after listening to you say that, if somebody doesn't bring $10 and they bring like pesos or rubles, will they still be able to get in?
I'm sure we can figure out some sort of exchange.
What about stones or rocks or crystals or what is it? What the Flintstones used to use? I think they would like some kind of stones or
flint. Yeah,
flint. There we go. We'll figure it out, right? Honestly, we'll be so glad to have you. We'll just welcome you with open arms, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Hey, we are looking forward to that. That's coming up. We've been mm-hmm. talking to Corey and Scott and Austin about that and getting all ready. So I think they're a little excited.
Yeah,
I do. And I think so. What happens is Scott and Corey tease you and Austin teases me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wildly offended all the way around. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be enjoyable.
That's correct. I agree with that. So looking forward to that, and hopefully you guys come out and join us. What are we talking about tonight, man?
It says here on our script, not script, mm-hmm. oddities, museums.
Oddities and the museums that hold them?
Yes.
Or the museums that hold odd. The oddities? The oddity museums. I like it.
Not a whole lot of necessarily paranormal and that kind of stuff, but these are just some weird museums.
That's correct.
A lot of them I did not know existed and why they exist.
Yeah, and I started, the first one I saw was out in California, and I was like, oh, we got to cover this and do like a mini on this. And I started looking over it, and then it's funny how many just spill out across this country.
Mm-hmm.
They're
worldwide.
Worldwide, but all over the world, you're correct.
In the United States, just in itself. They're everywhere.
It's a lot, yeah. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to cover. I know we won't get to all of them because there's a shit ton. But I thought, this is my pick, and I just thought it would be really, really cool. And you never know. Like I said, there's not necessarily paranormal in this, but you, like, some of these things have to have some, like, weird stuff happening, I guarantee you. Or some of the artifacts that they have in this, in these collections are pretty out there. So some of it could easily be haunted, right? So I'm going to go over a list of a few of these. And like I said, they're just to give you just a little taste of what's out there. Mm-hmm. There's the Mystic Museum in Burbank, California. There is the George the Giant Strange Museum of Oddities and Wonders in Bakersfield, California. There's the Vulture Culture Oddities. That's also in Burbank, by the way. Burbank is the place to go for these, apparently. The Oddities Flea Market. You knew there are a lot of flea markets out there, but did you know there's an Oddities one? And that's in Los Angeles, California. Now, that's not that surprising. I'm pretty sure that they should just change the name from Los Angeles to the Oddities Flea Market nowadays. But anyway, so love you out there, LA. Just kidding, but not really, some of it. this one is called the Musée Mécanique, and that is in San Francisco. And then there is a Rosicrucian Egyptian Museum. That's in San Jose, California. So these are, those are from California. But like I said, those are the ones that sparked me thinking, oh, man, we got to cover this. Mm-hmm. But there are a ton of them out there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Where do you want to start, man?
One that I have on my list right here is Shin Yokohama Ramen Museum in Yokohama, Japan.
Say what?
It is a ramen museum. Ramen is a staple of many diets, and the humble dish gets its brothy due at this museum south of Tokyo. The Ramen Museum opened its doors in 1994 and has displays on the history of ramen, if you're interested that deeply in ramen, and offers ramen-making classes. The main draws are the shops that sell different types of ramen and the Sunset Shopping Street, a replica of a traditional sweet shop that sells hundreds of old-fashioned treats and toys. So get your ramen on.
Get your ramen on. Who knew? Like, that is a strange one. That is actually a really good one to start on.
Mm-hmm. What do you have?
I have George the Giant's Strange Museum of Oddities and Wonders.
I love it.
Because it definitely will creep you out, right? It says, it's all part of George the Giant's Strange Museum of Oddities and Wonders. It is a pop-up museum opening. It's in Bakersfield, California, by the way. George MacArthur, a 7'3" giant, has been collecting his museum's worth of oddities and wonders for nearly 30 years. Oh, that's what a lot of these are. Right? They're people that are just enjoying, like, odd and weird things. So all gathered while swallowing swords, eating fire and glass, hammering nails into his nose, and performing other stunts and sideshows on television. And if you haven't seen him doing any of that, you may remember him as Colossus, the giant from Tim Burton's movie, Big Fish. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so I do know him from that. MacArthur learned his unusual skills from one of the last remaining sideshow legends, Bobby Reynolds. Reynolds, now retired, started in the business in the 1940s. One of his former Fiji mermaids and an alligator boy are among the weird exhibits. We've probably heard of those. I've heard of those. There's also on display is a haunted ventriloquist dummy that MacArthur recently possessed from a friend. The story came out that says its original owners used to hear tiny footsteps and often found it in places that hadn't been left. Although it sounds like it came straight out of the Twilight Zone or The Conjuring, MacArthur's friend bought it as a seemingly innocent estate sale, or from an innocent estate sale. Soon after that, a friend had a baby and believed the dummy appeared unhappy and jealous. So he gave it to me since I don't have kids. MacArthur told Weird Historian, "I think he seems happy. He has a smile on his face." This is the...
I'm not the dummy, you're the dummy.
Exactly, you love that one, right? This is the Fiji mermaid. That is super scary, yeah. Right? Yeah, super scary.
That's nice.
MacArthur also has some old-time sideshow attractions on display, like the 200-pound man-eating chicken. and a giant Ashwood bat from Kentucky. A grown male can take out a man in three strikes, MacArthur proudly states. When you open the box, it's a baseball bat, a Louisville Slugger. I love the comedy side of Sideshow and Roadside. Ship, I said ship. Attractions. The giant will lead tours through his collection every hour. That would be fun. Sharing all the bizarre tales behind the objects and for what's real and what's not. Well, it depends on what you believe. So it's interesting. Yeah, this kind of goes along the side, the Sideshow Oddities and Wonders from P.T. Barnum and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, look, here's a picture of a George the Giant.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I do remember Big Fish. That was a great, great movie.
Oh, yeah. I have here, I know everybody is excited about this one, the Mendenhall's Museum of Gasoline Pumps and Petrolia. In Buellton, California. Another California one. Get your motor running at this museum filled with all things service station.
It's like, get your motor running.
On display is the private collection of Jack Mendenhall, a Chevron station owner who spent decades accumulating gasoline pumps and globes. Porcelain and metal oil and road signs, license plates, and race cars. Today, the museum is operated by a son and daughter-in-law who have added their own gas station memorabilia to the venue.
That's weird. I like this.
You definitely have to have a certain love for some of these.
Yes. Well, that's right. Yeah. This is an acquired taste for a lot of this. I just found a number, and I didn't realize this in all my exploring with this topic. There are more than 35,000 museums in the United States under this classification.
Oh, wow.
With exhibitions that range from art to history to science and everything in between.
Yeah, I saw one.
Some museums are traditional treasure troves with artifacts of times gone by, with others are downright weird and devoted to single item issues. Oh, I wonder if that means all the museums in the United States. That's
maybe,
probably all the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did see one. I don't know if I'll get to it, but it was... The Museum of Bad Art.
That's awesome. I did not see that one. This says, from bottles to underwater diving to spam.
Yeah, the spam.
The spam one. Yeah. That's one that definitely caught my eye. this one is the Idaho Potato Museum, and is Blackfoot, Idaho. It is fitting that the potato capital of the world would have a spud-tacular museum. Pardon the puns. No, pardon the puns. They're great. The Idaho Potato Museum pays homage to all things potato. Located in the former Oregon State, Short Line Railroad Depot, the 5,500 square foot museum features exhibits on the root veggies history, the growing and harvesting process, the industry, and nutrition. Artifacts include one of the world's largest collections of potato mashers and the largest potato crisps ever made. There Fantastic. I bet it's nasty now. visitors can do experiments in the potato lab, because of course they've got one, and enjoy a freshly baked potato in the museum's cafe au lait.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. I'm kind of wanting to go there.
Baked potato sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got the... I hope I'm saying this right. I'm sorry, India, if I do not pronounce this correctly. The Sulaba International Toilet Museum.
Oh, that's awesome. I've heard of this one before, too. It's great. I wasn't going to touch it.
While its focus is the porcelain throne, the Museum of Toilets is much more than that. It also examines the history of hygiene and sanitation.
Nice.
With exhibits on social customs and etiquette, toilet technology, and sewage systems.
Yes.
The museum has three main sections: ancient, medieval, and modern. Modern art.
God. Well, hey, ancient. I can't imagine what ancient. Ancient's a hole in the ground, right?
In an extensive collection of objects, including chamber pots, bidets, and toilets from 1145 to present day.
Wow. That must be the ancient ones, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen pictures of some of those, and the medieval ones, too, actually. But
you can run to this museum.
That's right. Oh, get the if you get the runs, right?
And if you get the runs.
Squatty potty.
There's plenty of toilets there.
That's pretty awesome, actually. I've got one you're going to love. The International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.
Ooh.
James Bond's there, right? Always got to be. Go undercover at the International Spy Museum. Austin Powers is there. You know that.
This isn't it. It's no ordinary pin.
That's right. That's right. This is the Spy Who Shagged Me, right? The only public museum in the country dedicated to espionage. The two-story museum features 8 permanent interactive exhibits plus pop-up exhibits. I am not talking well tonight. I'm the one that had some sleep, right? Pop-up exhibits exploring the history and craft of life as a spy. Visitors arrive at a briefing center, are issued a cover identity, and are challenged to stay undercover and gather intel. Along the way, visitors crack codes and can crawl through an air duct to spy on others before participating in a debrief that evaluates their espionage abilities. Now, that's funny. I think the thing is they say that, you know, spying and all the, like, somebody was talking about who was in the CIA before, and they're like, everything that you see on TV and in the movies is absolutely not what happens.
No.
Like, it is so not that, like, exciting.
It's not that glorious.
Mm-mm. So, and that I do believe, actually.
Mm-hmm. How about the Dog Collar Museum?
Where's that at?
That is in Leeds Castle in Broomfield, England.
Broomfield?
Broom.
Broom, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Broom, broom.
Like a witch.
Got it.
All right. Bedazzled collars are a more modern invention, but you will see ornate displays of dog collar museums, or collars at the dog collar museum. Collars have been adorning. Man, I am... We're struggling.
We are both, yeah. Hey, but it's good stuff.
Woo, okay. Collars have been adoring the necks of canines for centuries, and this museum has examples dating back to the late 15th century. The collection includes rare pieces from, what is this, the Baroque period? B-A-R-O-Q-U-E? I don't know. And a 500-year-old collar that was once protected a Spanish iron herd mastiff.
Yeah.
From the wolves and bears. It's fascinating to see how the collar evolved and the different materials used over the years.
Oh.
I'm sure it's very, very interesting for a few minutes.
Yeah, right. You're like 10 minutes and you're done. Right? I didn't pay for this, did I? You're going to love this one. This one's in Houston, Texas. Texas, I said. The National Museum of Funeral History. How's that strike you? Right across the gullet. Home to the country's largest collection of historical funeral service items like caskets, coffins, and hearses, the National Museum of Funeral History has 19 permanent exhibits, including embalming, the history of cremation, and the history of mourning photography. That has, and I don't mean mourning as in the sun shining or sun rising. That would be morbid. The 30,500 square foot museum showcases exhibits that explore funeral culture from around the world and from ancient Egypt today. It says the 9/11 and Fallen Heroes exhibit has 2 urns containing ashes and debris remnants from Ground Zero. That's morbid. And the Presidential Funerals exhibit includes the hearse used during the funerals of President Ronald Reagan and President Gerald R. Ford. I didn't know he had a middle name.
Yeah.
Or at least not one that we talk about.
Well, I know you've been on the edge of your seat.
Uh-oh.
And hoping.
Watch out.
That there's a museum about this. This is the Museum of Tap Water.
You're lying. There's not a museum of tap water.
It is in Beijing, China. And it is oh so real. Standing on the site of Beijing's first city water plant is the Museum of Tap Water, which delves into what it takes to bring H2O to a metropolis. The museum has exhibits on how water is collected and filtered, the photos, models, sand tables, and other objects serving as illustrations. It's an educational experience for everyone, especially those who do not have much hydrology knowledge. Fascinating.
That's right. This one is a little bit kooky, but I like kooky. It is the National Mustard Museum.
Ooh.
It's in Middleton, Wisconsin. The National Mustard Museum.
Can't relish it.
You can't relish it. Catch up with it. exhibits the world's largest miscellany. I didn't even. Miscellany? That's weird.
Miscellany?
I've never heard of mustards and mustard memorabilia. That is really ridiculous, actually. Founded in 1992, that sounds about right, by Barry Levinson, the National Mustard Museum boasts a collection of 6,000 mustards from 70 countries. Oh my. Visitors can learn about mustard history and few artifacts like antique tins, mustard pots, and vintage advertisements. The museum hosts the annual worldwide mustard competition, of course it does, and National Mustard Day Street Festival. Admission to the Condiment Museum, it's free. It better be free.
Wow.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, cause if it wasn't free, I don't think I could muster up the energy to go to the mustard museum. Crickets.
I know. You're just going to keep, you're milking that a little too much there.
We mentioned this next one earlier. This is the Spam Museum. It is in Austin, Minnesota. I would have thought it would have been in Hawaii because Spam is a delicacy in Hawaii. But it's not. A fan of Hormel Foods Corporation's pink block of canned meat, a visit to the Spam Museum provides entertaining exhibits, including a timeline and memorabilia about the iconic luncheon meat. Made of pork, salt, water, sugar, sodium nitrate, and modified potato starch that is famously packed in a rectangular navy blue can. Visitors can take a free guided or self-guided tour through the museum and stop to see how tall they are in Spam cans.
That's weird. It is. That's Austin?
Austin.
But not
Minnesota.
Minnesota, right? Yeah, not Texas.
Not Texas.
So weird. I saw that one. The International UFO Museum, and do they have to change that to UAF or whatever? International UFO Museum and Research Center. You're never going to believe this. This is in Roswell, New Mexico. Why would they put it there?
I don't understand
that at all. Located in a converted movie theater, that sounds about right too, the International UFO Museum and Research Center is dedicated to all things UFOs or UFO-y, particularly the 1947 Roswell UFO incident, the crash of a flying saucer that the U.S. military claims was just a weather balloon. We know that's BS. The pet-friendly museum. What in the world are you going to take your dogs there or cats or anything else? Maybe you take your aliens there, right? The pet-friendly museum includes written, audio, and visual materials and art related to the history of UFO events, brought to you by the United States government, right? Exhibits include a spinning UFO with aliens in an outdoor Roswell Believes mural. Something like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep. Makes you believe, doesn't it? I think it's maybe poking fun at it. I don't know. I think that actually it's serious, and I hate to say that, but... Mm-hmm. Yikes.
No, I think all these are very serious.
I think so, too. That's what I'm scared of. I'm really scared of that. We need one in Plainfield, don't we? What would we have, an Oddities Museum just for us, basically? The Mako Oddities Museum.
Well, we are known as the Fighting Quakers, and Quakers never fought. That's an oddity.
That is an oddity in itself. I think we can base it off of that, can't we, right?
I have the International Cryptozoology Museum.
No, you don't.
I do.
I was hoping you got that one.
Portland, Maine. Cryptozoology does not have anything to do with blockchain. though we're sure someone out there is working on a cryptocurrency museum. I'm sure they are. It actually concerns the study of hidden or unknown animals. And the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland is the only gallery in the world dedicated to it, giving you the chance to learn all you need to know about Bigfoot, mermaids, and Santa Claus. It's a marvelous and ever so slightly ridiculous collection.
It sounds ridiculous. but I love it. I totally believe it.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, yeah, no.
That one, I think, would be pretty interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. I like this one. I think this might be one of those 10-minute deals, though, for me, but my brother would love it. He'd probably spend all week there. But Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. Another California one, right? The mission of the Computer History Museum is to decode technology, the computing past, digital present, and the future impact on humanity. Exhibits tell the story of software and delve into the history of the internet. Again, not that exciting. Networking and mobile technologies. The Silicon Valley Museum's collection includes oral histories and computing artifacts like source code, machines, lab notebooks, and business plans. The museum's Exponential Center explores the growth of iconic companies and the legacy and future of entrepreneurship and innovation. I hate to say it, but that might be the most boring one. I think I'm going to take the spam one over that one.
Oh, yeah. How about the Museum of Bad Art?
Yes.
This is in Somerville, Massachusetts. What initially started as a small museum in the basement of a private home in Boston in 1993 has grown into a larger museum in the basement of a Somerville theater, a retro movie theater in Davis Square. The collection inside the Museum of Bad Art includes over 500 art pieces from artists. That's sort of funny.
It is a good one.
Art from artists. That's... Who would have thought? Amateurs and anonymous creators. Includes donated pieces, artwork purchased in thrift stores, and art gifted to the museum by the artists themselves. The museum is free and displays about 25 works at a given time.
That's awesome.
That would be fun to go see, just to see how bad the art is.
How good bad it is. Or bad good. I've got one. Actually, I like this one. This is really wild, and it's probably appropriate where it's at. It's in Miami, Florida, and it is the Museum of Graffiti. Located in downtown Miami Art District of Wynwood, famous for its Wynwood walls and Wynwood doors, the Museum of Graffiti is the first museum dedicated to graffiti art. The indoor and outdoor exhibits include the work of graffiti artists from around the world. The collection includes 11 outdoor murals, a fine art gallery, and artist and thematic exhibits. The museum also offers graffiti classes, kids graffiti, drawing classes, and a gift shop. That's kind of wild. Yeah, the pictures.
Do you make your own graffiti at the gift shop?
I would imagine so, right? It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Really good graffiti is very interesting.
Hard to come across. It's not that hard to come across. it's all over Plainfield, right?
Let's see. We got the National Bottle Museum. Everybody is.
Where's that at?
That is in Ballston Spa, New York.
I would not have guessed that.
Oh, yeah. Ever wonder how bottles are made? The National Bottle Museum has entertaining exhibits that educate visitors about bottle making. Located in a historic three-story brick commercial building, the museum's first floor has more than 3,000 bottles on display. The museum has 7 permanent exhibits featuring curiosities like pre-machine-made bottles from each state in uranium glass and temporary exhibits that range from Coca-Cola bottles to shot glasses to spa bottles.
What the heck is a spa bottle?
I don't know.
You're trying to figure that out.
I know the uranium glass, you probably don't want to get near too long.
No, I would think not. That doesn't sound very safe.
What's the half-life
of uranium glass bottles?
Have a whole set of them and you didn't know.
Yeah, right.
Drinking water.
In your basement.
Milk out of them.
Oh, God. Mm. You and your...
Adds that extra kick.
Three eyeballs and tail growing out of your backside.
Wow.
Have you always had forearms there, Roy? I've got one. Okay, so this is going to be one of those magic moments. I'm going to say, since this is a family show, that we're going to say, if you have young children around, or if you are young children, this might be a good time to skip ahead, because I've found one, and I read about this one. I wasn't sure if I was going to go here, but I'm totally going to go here, because I think this is historical, and I would be cheating this topic if I didn't go here. So it is the Antique Vibrator Museum in San Francisco, California.
I skipped that one.
No, I'm not skipping it, dude. I'm not doing it. Well, I am going to do it because I'm going to do it right now. Did you know that the electric vibrator dates back to the Victorian era? I did. Mm-hmm. Ask me how I know. At this quirky museum in San Francisco, you'll learn about how doctors once used medically induced orgasms in women to heal all sorts of ailments and female hysteria in quotes, as well as see models of vibrators through the Industrial Revolution to the Great Depression into the mid-century up until today. The Antique Vibrator Museum, run by sex toy shop Good Vibrations, now, that is a great name, by the way, is free admission. And while it's only one room, it's packed with information. And there are some of the pictures from it are quite entertaining. It shows all kinds of different paraphernalia. It says things like stop the pain, instant relief without drugs. It talks about certain kinds of massages. It's dead serious. So, that's out there. And it's in San Francisco.
Hmm.
I left my heart in San Francisco, but man, I apparently left my toys there too. Yikes. That's something
else.
Who
would have thought?
I mean.
Here's one. Museum of the Holy Souls in Purgatory. This is in Rome, Italy.
Yes. I was going to say, when are we going to get out of the country? We've got tons here, right?
Situated on the, how do you pronounce that? The Tiber River?
Uh-huh.
Tiber River. Just a stone's throw from the Vatican, you can find an interesting one-room museum with some controversial signatures. It lies inside the Sacro Cura de Gesù. I hope I'm saying that right.
I'm going to go with that.
In Prati Church, and is dedicated to souls in purgatory. According to the Catholic belief, good souls go to purgatory after death to be cleansed of sin before entering heaven. The prayers of faithful family members and friends essentially speed up the process. The museum is a collection of artifacts supposedly signed or stamped in one way or another by a soul crying out for help from purgatory. One item is a nightcap of a man with his dead wife's handprint, and another is a book with the same handprint signature.
Hmm.
You get the picture.
I do get the picture. I do, mm-hmm. And I don't want it. Oh, man. Okay, this is going to be one of my favorite ones. Now, I would spend a lot more than 10 minutes in this one. This is in Frisco, Texas. It's the National Video Game Museum.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might love it.
Fun.
Whether you're a gamer or not, the National Video Game Museum is fascinating and fun for all. Learn about the start of gaming and its evolution to what it's become today. Here, it's not all about reading history. You'll get to step inside a recreated 1980s bedroom, play giant Pong, and head to the video game wall where you get to have our hand at classic. To have your hand is what they mean, at classic and modern video games side by side. That would be cool. They have so many video games out there that you can play from the olden days. It kind of almost too much. You know what I mean? Like, have you ever done that? Like, oh man, I want to play this game. Oh, I want to play that one. And then you just get like over stimulated and you're like, after about, I don't know, 500 of them, no, like 10 of them, you're like, okay, I can't do this anymore. You know, like, I have to take it in small bites.
For sure. We have the, and again, I hope I am pronouncing this correctly. Probably not. The Sir Ira Medical Museum, Museum of Death in Thailand. Now we head back to Thailand and experience a one-up on the creepy spectrum. The Bangkok Museum of Death is morbid, to say the least. The facility consists of six small museums in one, three of which, the pathology, the anatomical and forensic museum, drawing all the freaks. The pathology museum features preserved human specimens, most of which have genetic disorders. The anatomical museum contains somewhat gag-inducing human specimens in all manners of dissection, and the forensic museum hosts a slew of preserved accident victims, murderers, and the body of Thailand's first official serial killer, an infamous cannibal. That would be interesting.
That's awesome. I think it's funny because I'm trying to look at some of the museums. There's so many different ones out there. It's hard to get through all of these, but I'm going to highlight a couple of them in Europe. The Museum of Broken Relationships is in Zagreb, Croatia. It says this museum exhibits testimonies and relics of broken love. That seems so weird. Telling the story of heartbreak is in a sometimes humorous, sometimes sad way. Let's see. What is this one? Kunsthamaria is in St. Peter's, Russia. This museum, founded by Peter the Great, features a vast collection of over 200,000 natural and human oddities originally intended to dispel myths about monsters. Now, I might be able to go for that one. I don't have any idea why it's called Kunsthamaria. Sounds dirty, doesn't it? Anatomical Museum is in Prague, the Czech Republic. This quirky museum contains human specimens in various states of dissection.
Sweet.
That's pretty wild. Well, then there is that one's in. Is that in California? Isn't that the one?
Bodies
exhibit. Yeah. Because they took that around the country, and then it ended up in California, right?
I think California or Las Vegas or
Colorado or something.
Somewhere.
That's, they say that is pretty wild. Now, here's the weirdest thing about that. I did hear of one of the stories about that. I need to look at and see where that's at. There was somebody. It was on a podcast, and they were talking about how awesome and amazing that place is.
Mm-hmm.
But they then, after visiting that, they looked into the history of that place a little bit more. And you know where most of those bodies came from?
They were Chinese prisoners.
Yes.
Most of them. Yeah.
Yes. And so they said, you know, can you imagine, like, in China, if you want to make somebody, like, just disappear? I mean, mm-hmm. like, you know, kill them and ship them over, and then they're, like, forever stuck in this.
Mm-hmm.
This hell, right? Was that on Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
Yes, that's where I was like, Joe, where did I hear that? That wasn't a podcast.
Joe
was
saying, he's like, he went to it the first time. He's like, man, this is really cool and fascinating.
Funny.
And then he went back again. He's like, this is morbid and crazy.
Right. So he, yeah. I'll look into where in the heck that's at. Cause...
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We have a Museum of Witchcraft and Magic that is in Cornwall, England. This off-the-wall museum is located in lovely Cornwall and contains a 3,000-object exhibit dedicated to witchcraft. Founder Cecil Williamson had a lifelong obsession with the occult and attempted to start his museum in a few locations before settling on Boz Castle in 1960. The collection has changed hands a few times since then, but it has endured. It seems people have a bit of fascination with witchcraft and magic.
Hmm. I don't know how updated this is, but there is a shit ton of places that has it. So it's all around.
I think there's multiple exhibits of it.
Germany, American Canada. Yeah. So there's human animals. all that kind of stuff. So there's different kinds. Okay, so Germany, there's Cologne, Germany, Hanover, Germany, Berlin, Germany, Heidelberg, Germany. So Germany, Guben, Germany, Bremen, Germany. So apparently it came from Germany first. Istanbul, Turkey. Well, that's the animals, though. Bruges in Belgium. Amsterdam, if I can say it correctly. Guy playing a saxophone. It's skeleton. Is in the Netherlands. Gallipolis? It's like Indianapolis with a galley in front of it. Gallipolis? I don't know.
Gallipolis.
That's in U.S. somewhere. I don't know where that's at. Galveston, which I assume is Texas, is in the U.S. And San Jose. That's New Mexico, right? San Jose? Or is that California? I bet that's California, right?
Right. Yeah.
Richmond, that's Virginia. I wish they would say the states, but they don't. So, and then it goes into, yeah. So there's, it's all over the world.
Unless those are towns that it went to.
Maybe. And that's the other thing. Yeah. Well, a lot of these articles just talk how it's morally wrong. So it says world famous exhibitions, though.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know.
We got the torture museum in Amsterdam. It wasn't all that long ago that public torture sessions in the city square were a normal Saturday occurrence in Europe, and the professional executioners and tormentors got pretty inventive. Some stomach-turning mechanisms in the Amsterdam Torture Museum, ranging from thumb screws to skull crushers and all manners of other disturbing death contraptions. It might make you thankful for the generally more lenient governments of today, given that many of the poor souls who endured these tortures were perfectly innocent citizens.
That's wild.
You can only imagine the energy probably left in some of these torture mechanisms.
Well, I would think so. The funny thing is that you said that one's in where? Amsterdam?
Amsterdam.
Netherlands. Yep. So there's two of them, at least in the United States. One of them is in Chicago, which I've seen advertised before. But there's also one in St. Augustine, Florida, which they're probably both fairly... I think they might be run by the same people. So the medieval torture museums are an interactive museum located in, this is a 6,000 square foot building in Chicago. The museum showcases torture devices, exhibits based on torture methods used during the Middle Ages. Visitors can get hands-on experience with gruesome devices, just like you were talking about. This one, it says the museum features 8 rooms, each dedicated to a specific aspect of medieval torture. Exhibits include replicas of torture devices such as the Iron Maiden, the rack, and the breaking wheel, which is one of my favorites. Interactive elements allow visitors to experience the devices firsthand with no harm or injury. Thank God, right? Talk about lawsuit. The museum is not recommended for children. No kidding. Under 18 without an adult, and children under 10 are admitted free of charge. Wait, what? They don't want you to be there under 18, but if you're 10 or under 10, you're free. What? The museum is located in a busy area of State Street, making it easily accessible by public transportation or on foot. You can book tickets. The museum offers unique and educational experiences, providing insight into the dark history of medieval torture methods. It gets good reviews overall, which is pretty awesome. And it's close to some other actual normal museums like the Field Museum, the Museum, the Art Institute of Chicago, and Science and Industry, and all that good stuff. That's weird, though, because it says there's a medieval torture museum in St. Augustine, though, too. That doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't give any information on it. That's weird. I think Google drinks heavily at night. What do you think?
It very well could be doing that, yes. Let's see. I have some, I don't know if they're honorable, but mentionables for anyone that wants to do their own research on these. I don't think it's our duty with our podcast to really delve into these. But there is a museum, a sex machine museum. Icelandic.
You're following my suit, aren't you?
Phallological Museum. And the Condom Museum.
Todd's going to kill us. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They are out there. If you want to do your own research and see what they're
all about,
we're
going to stop there.
Have at it.
We're going to preface that with hedgehog.
Yes.
Hedgehog. So I did find, there's not as much information out there, but there is a medieval torture museum in St. Augustine, Florida. Yeah, that's pretty nasty too, actually. So yeah, those torture museums, I knew the one in Chicago, but I didn't realize there was more than that. So you never know.
Man, there's so many of these.
There was one in London, and it was a guy that had been collecting, I think, for 30 years or something, and he had so many weird things. And what was it? The one of them, and I swear he said this. I have to go back and really like make sure I wasn't like imagining it, but it was Amy Weinstein's poop. Like he had like
no.
Now, and that just begs the question. Why and how? Those are, but he was like, I mean, just, he was going through all these ridiculous things that he has,
wow,
that he's collected. And that was one of them. And I would be ashamed to have that number one, mm-hmm, but yeah. Why and how?
Some other mentionables. There is the Museum of Broken Relationships.
Oh, that's one. Yeah. That's the one I mentioned, but I didn't
Okay.
I didn't go into detail.
And then there's the Vent Haven Museum, which is for ventriloquism.
That's awesome.
That's in Fort Mitchell, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
The British Lawnmower Museum in Southport, England, if you're really into lawnmowers. One that we haven't really talked about, and I haven't seen it on a list yet, is Zach Bagans Museum with all of the haunted artifacts.
Hmm. So, oh, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, I believe that's in Vegas. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I found another museum of torture, and it's in Siena.
Hmm.
Where in the world's Siena? It didn't even say where that's at, but it's another one, the same thing, you know, basically. Just the, oh, man, that's nasty. I don't know that. I mean, I could go to one of those, but I don't know. Those get pretty dark. Okay, so this is the guy I think that I was talking about. It's the Victor Wind Museum of Curiosities in London. But I don't see anything about Amy Winehouse's poop. So I don't know. You're going to have to figure that out on your own, guys. I heard that on a video. So hidden below the fabulous Last Tuesday Society Absinthe Bar, the Victor, well, I may be saying that wrong, the Victor Wind Museum of Curiosities offers a fascinating homage to all that is eccentric, unique, and darkly beautiful, like Amy Weinstein's defecation, all stuffed into a dimly lit basement in Hackney. The little space has the scent of an old forgotten library and is crammed with the most incredible objects, from masquerade masks and taxidermied animals sat around a spell table from the Gnostic Temple of Agape to vintage erotica, which, oh my gosh, of course, we're going to be talking about that again, human body parts, various plastic ephemera, ethnographica, and shrunken heads. Everything here is mysterious and dark, but the museum's personality, much like its owners, is effervescent and profoundly witty. Yeah, he's actually very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Intriguingly, travelers with a love of the bizarre can join Victor Wind, the reclusive curator and owner of the museum, on various journeys and collecting expeditions across West Africa, as well as on guided tours of the subterranean museum. We suggest finishing with a cocktail or a glass of absinthe in the bar upstairs, where the museum overflows with yet more oddities and magnificent curiosities, from wall-mounted animal heads and a small library of books to the ornate absinthe fountains that sit atop the bar and tables. Here's a nice little picture of it. Again, no poo-poo from the Amy Weinstein or whatever. I didn't say her name right. What did I say? Amy Winehouse, isn't it? What is it?
Winehouse. Yeah.
Winehouse, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just making stuff up now.
There is the International Paranormal Museum and Research Center, which is located in Somerset, Kentucky.
I knew we'd get there. I knew we would.
I have plans, maybe one of these days, to go there because
it's where you vacation, right?
Yeah, our family property is in the town just south of Somerset in Burnside. So we drive through there. We're there all the time. So one of these days we'll check that out. I found a list here in Ohio. So anybody in Ohio, like Austin Lawrence. Here's a list of crazy museums you can go check out. There's the Washboard Museum.
Sounds super boring.
The Troll Doll Museum.
Weird.
Collect the whole set.
Uh-huh.
The Popcorn Museum. The History of Contraception.
Yes. We're never getting away from that, are we?
American Sign Museum. Paul A. Johnson Pencil Sharpener Museum. National Barber Museum.
Uh-huh.
And the Anti-Saloon League Museum. I'm not sure what that's
I don't
all
know.
About.
There's a museum for everything
out
there, right?
From 1893 to 1933, the Anti-Saloon League was a major force in American politics. Okay.
What was that one in New Orleans? Wasn't it in New Orleans? It was a Museum of Death or something like that?
Yeah.
Right?
Something like that.
Yeah. we wanted to go in there and everybody else was like, nope, don't think so.
So it looks like, yeah, the Anti-Saloon League led a crusade against alcohol at the turn of the 20th century. So, yeah, there's a whole museum dedicated to that. It seems like anywhere you go, any state, any country, any hemisphere, you're going to find a museum of something.
Yeah, that museum.
That you may or may not be interested in.
There's the Museum of Death. Then
there's one with
House of Horrors or Horror House or whatever in Michigan that we talked about.
Yep. And then I saw one like the Museum of Hair.
Mm-hmm.
It has like, 30,000 women hair samples or mm-hmm. something. It's like
kind of wild. There's a Cup Noodles Museum in Japan. Some of these we've talked about. There's a Shoe Museum in Toronto, Canada. There is what was that one? Oh, the National Poo Museum. And that's the Isle of Wight, England. I knew there had to be one of those out there. Oh, I mean, look at this. They're in glass.
Oh, yeah.
Petrified. Oh, my gosh.
I think
we could keep going.
Whatever your little heart desires, they probably have a museum for it.
What in the world? So Electric Ladyland. I mean, this never stops. Electric Ladyland Phosphorescence Museum is in Amsterdam, Netherlands. That one actually looks kind of cool. Amsterdam's got some kooky ones. There's an Icelandic pathological museum. And then you talked about that one, right? Didn't you? Did you mention that?
They're lying.
Here's. That's right. Gosh, it is just wild. Yeah, there are a lot of these that we've already talked about. Oh, this is a cool one. I forgot about this one. The Underwater Museum of Art in Cancun, Mexico. That's insane.
Okay.
That is just wild.
Like I said, I mean, if you can fathom it and think about it, there's probably a museum for it.
Farmington Hills, Michigan, Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum. Oh, there's the Neon Museum in Las Vegas. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I read
the
about
toilet
that
one. Yep. Oh, there's a mummy museum. Oh, my gosh. There are so many awesome. Oh, here it is. This one's a good one. The Museum of Miniature Books. I mean, come on. Like, look at this. This is insane.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, how do you get money to start this kind of thing? The National Hobo Museum. That's in Iowa. The Museum of Witchcraft and Magic. That's not surprising. That's in England. Dog Collar one you talked about. Gopher Hole Museum. The Mutter Museum, whatever that means. I don't know. Oh, that's in Philadelphia. That one looks cool. That's a bunch of skulls. What's a model with you?
Gosh. Heck yeah. This was a
Tabasco Museum.
Very interesting topic. I had no idea that this many oddities were out there.
You got to stop me before. I can't stop.
I'm trying to stop you.
I can't stop. Don't stop. Won't stop. Can't stop. Oh, man.
All right. Well, we're going to put the halt to this topic.
But I don't want to.
I know.
I could do this all night.
Oh, yeah.
But you need sleep, right?
I need sleep.
So do I. You're right. What does this bring us to?
This brings us to the middle age moment or dark side.
Oh, what do you think it's going to be? You're going to get this one right?
Start
your streak, man. Just start it.
Let's go dark side.
Dark side is correct.
Finally.
Gosh, how did you do that, man? It's magic. You're the magic man.
One for 15,000.
I'm going to dedicate this one just for you. How about that? So to go along with this kind of weird and odd, I was called odd, right? Oddities?
Oddities.
I thought that the Smashing Pumpkins, We Only Come Out at Night, would be a good way to bring us out of all this craziness. We only come out at night. We only come out at night. The days are much too bright. We only come out at night. And once again, you'll pretend to know me well, my friends. And once again, I'll pretend to know the way through the empty space, through the secret places of the heart. We only come out at night. We only come out at night. The days are much too bright. We only come out at night. I walk alone. I walk alone to find the way home. I'm on my own. I'm on my own to see the ways that I can't help the days. You will make it home okay. I know you can, and you can. We only come out at night. We only come out at night. The days are much too bright. We only come out at night. And once again, no, you'll pretend to know that. And there's an end. That there's an end to this. Begin. It will help you sleep at night. It will make it seem that right is always right. All right? We only come out at night. We only come out at night. The days are much too bright. We only come out at night.
Mm-hmm.
Dun 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 dun. Right?
You got
You think
it.
That was a good way to usher it out? I think you think that too.
Oh, yeah.
You think so? There's a lot of thinking going
only,
on.
Only for the not crazies much, come at it. For,
that is correct. The oddities.
Mm-hmm.
Then they shove them into a museum.
You know it.
Hedgehog. I did. So our last, we dropped a what we called a classic mini episode, and I chose Stone, or not? Yeah, not Stonehenge. Oh my gosh, I started to say Stonehenge. Hedgehog is what I'm thinking.
Crop circles.
Crop circles, and that led to the hedgehog and the Sonic thing, and I loved dropping that. But I think some people thought that was like new stuff, and yeah. I was like, it's okay with me. It's fine.
No, we had a lot of oddities pop up. So,
is that a play on words over there?
Yeah. I think that was the first time.
Play on odd words.
In 3.5 years that we just could not get it coordinated to get together and do any sort of recording to drop a new episode.
But we have so much now that I think going back and pulling something out, especially one of our favorites, we have a couple that are just, I mean, I like all of our recordings, of course. They're all our babies, right? Mm-hmm. But, there are some that just like stick out and you're like, oh my gosh. And that one is definitely the one. So, and definitely enjoyed that. What do we got next?
We got second announcements.
Okay.
You want to do them or you want me to do them?
I'll do them. I'll do them. I made you do enough, right? You can follow us on social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, and Rumble. Not so much on the Rumble right now, but I'm still figuring that out. I have no idea how that works. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's 2 A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you're a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We sell all kinds of merch, so go get you some. Please check out our Friday Fright videos on all our socials.
Excellent.
You like that?
Yeah. Then I think we were discussing maybe halting the Friday Fright videos for
I did one last week. Yeah, I did one this last week. And just for a moment, but they'll be back. I promise.
Yeah.
It's just like the Tuesday Terrors, and I love doing those too. We just probably take a second and kind of recollect ourselves and get back at those. So, believe me, they'll be back. I love doing those. I think those are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. They're really cool.
So what else do you got for us?
It's sort of an oddity, but that's a wrap.
I kind of knew you were going there. All right. Well, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 183 on Oddity Museums. And until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your host, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out.
Keep it creepy.